going to do something a little bit different today. I posted this Ask Me Anything on my Instagram at GeoBreezeTravel and got tons of great questions about points, miles, travel tips, how I grew my Instagram to more than 100,000 followers, how my husband and I became multimillionaires before the age of 30 without really doing anything interesting to get there. So we are going to dive into the answers to all of those questions today. Here we go. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. What are your favorite snacks, must-have travel items, and favorite Excel shortcut? At the beginning of my podcast and every episode, we love solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. I love Excel shortcuts, and I realize I don't share nearly enough. My favorite one is Alt-ESV, which is paste special values, or also Alt-ESF, which is to paste special format. So if you want to paste the format only or paste the values only, those are a couple of my favorites. Plus any of the ones that let you scroll across the screen, control shift down or control shift right to highlight a whole range. Those are a couple of my favorite ones with Excel as well. As far as favorite snacks, I have recently discovered protein brownies, and that I can make them on my own. I like to just mash together a banana, some cocoa powder, some protein powder, and some nut butter, peanut butter, or macadamia butter, something like that, and then make protein brownies. It doesn't involve eggs or sugar or anything. It's super easy, and then I just bake them in a mini muffin tin, have a couple of them for breakfast, and feel like I can have brownies for breakfast, and it's not going to completely addlepate my brain so that I am useless for the rest of the day. So that's a favorite snack. And must-have travel items, water bottle. Reusable water bottle is always something that I like to have on hand because with a lot of places, sometimes the water fountains don't work. Sometimes they're going to charge you extra to just buy water. They won't have it on the plane for whatever reason. Or sometimes, like, it's just not safe. So going into a restaurant or bar, asking if they have filtered water, just asking if they can fill up your reusable water bottle for you has saved me a ton of times. And it saves a ton of money. It saves the planet. So always have a reusable water bottle on hand. I don't particularly have a brand of water bottle that I recommend. One I'm using right now, this is a free one that came with our stay at Alila Ventana Big Sur. Everybody who stays at that hotel just gets a couple of reusable water bottles to keep. So that's the one that I've been using, but I don't have like a super fancy Camelback or anything like that. Everyone is Team Hyatt, but how do you keep earning all of those Chase points for them once you're over 5 over 24? Daily spend doesn't seem to be enough to earn that many points. So a lot of people are always just like, oh, just open another card, get the sign-up bonus, transfer it to Hyatt. But at some point, you might want to employ other strategies than that in order to make it more sustainable. So one strategy is to have the Hyatt credit card, whether it's business card or the personal card, and put daily spend on that because you will earn Hyatt points that way, especially if you are staying at Hyatt. And it doesn't necessarily have to be your high spend that you're putting on it all the time. If you have anybody in your family who's anti-credit card anyway, just ask if you can put some of their expenses on your credit card and have them pay you back with cash or checks since they don't like using credit cards anyway. It's going to get you a lot more points and you don't have to go through the awkward fight of you trying to evangelize them into the world of points and miles. So this is a super base case for reimbursable spend of you paying for somebody else's stuff, they reimburse you. If you have a job where you can put things on your credit card and then fill out expense reports, that's another way to get reimbursable spend. You could do a buy and sell thing where you're buying cheap things from Ross Dress for less and then selling them on Poshmark or eBay, maybe making a profit, maybe just breaking even and earning a lot of Hyatt point. So those are some ideas for earning more Hyatt point without having to open 20 cards and without having to go super high tech and go into a whole thing about buying groups and everything right here on this call. If you do want more ideas, we have a ton of other ideas on the free webinar. You don't need 20 cards. You can find that at geobreezetravel.com/webinar. And we have a lot of other ideas for different strategies on how to earn more points, whether for Hyatt or something else, without having to open more and more cards. How do you prep or plan for an upcoming trip once you have the location plan? So I outsource a lot of it to my husband, completely, honestly. I tend to plan a lot of the flights and hotels, and then he does a lot more of figuring out public transportation, how to get around once we're actually there, and some excursions. Some things that we really like to do, we will just search on GPS My City and then type in whatever city you have. There's a ton of free walking tours when you do that. And it's really good to do on the first day to just kind of get a city orientation tour that way. Or I hear these days that ChatGPT is a very popular tool for kind of planning out an itinerary. I haven't done it myself. Let me know in the comments if you have used ChatGPT to plan out your trip itinerary and how it has gone for you. Is it worth it to have the Amex Gold and Amex Platinum at the same time? As with all card combinations, it depends on your particular situation and if you are able to justify the annual fees of these cards. So the Amex Gold costs $250 a year for annual fees, and you get about $240 of dining credits throughout the year, $20 or so per month. So if you go out to eat a lot, you use a lot of Grubhub, you do a lot of Uber or Uber Eats, then yes, you can definitely justify the cost of the Amex Gold. And you get 4 points per dollar on dining and grocery credits. So if your family eats a lot, then it's a great card for that reason. With the Amex Platinum, it's a pretty steep annual fee. It's $695. If you're able to use the different credits, like $189 clear credit or the $200 fine hotels and resorts credit, the $200 airline incidental credit, all of the Uber Eats credits, and all of those things, those can definitely add up to more than $700. You just want to make sure that you are not straining yourself in order to use those credits. Like, I personally never get any use out of that $300 Equinox credit because I don't go to Equinox. If you're in the market for a new credit card, but not sure which one is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobracetravel.com consultations, and we can provide you with personalized recommendations based on your particular goals, budget, and lifestyle. You can find the link below or go to geobracetravel.com/consultations. What's the best points deal you've ever found? So we have tons of content on the Instagram about super shiny business class and first class and luxury hotels, but I actually want to give an example that's a little bit different. So we used to live in Denver and we went to school in Nebraska and we would go back to Lincoln for football games all the time. That is an expensive flight because it's such a small airport. It was $600 or $700 with cash price most of the time, especially if it's a high volume weekend because of football games. But we actually found a flight on United at the time that was only a few thousand points because it's such a short distance. And you can still do the same thing if you are booking a United flight through Air Canada, because Denver is so close to Lincoln, that should qualify for about 6,000 points and miles. And if you are covering a $600 or $700 flight one way on 6,000 points, you are getting more than 10 cents per point, which is crazy good value. And it doesn't require you to amass tens of thousands of points to get a lot of value out of your points that way. So this is a super useful trick if you are somebody who flies into small airports a lot or from small airports a lot, and you're like, oh my God, it's so expensive to fly anywhere because I live in a small airport that just isn't serviced much and the prices are really high. That Air Canada distance-based chart really comes in handy if you mostly fly United. What is your favorite high-yield savings account? So I'm going to do a sharp left on this and recommend a product that's actually a little bit different than a high-yield savings account. And that would be Vast Bank for anybody who's trying to earn a lot of American Airlines miles. Instead of earning interest on your checking or savings account, you can actually earn American Airlines miles by having your points sitting in the account with the bank. So that's just a way to earn some extra points if you have a business or just a lot of money that you're parking in your bank account because you have to keep it liquid for whatever reason. You can earn American Airlines miles on that account. Any tips for cruises or car rentals? So if you want to get free cruises, I would just Google points and miles cruises status match or something like that. There's so many different opportunities where you can get almost free cruises just by status matching. For example, I think at some point I matched my Hyatt Globalist over to MSC, got MSC Diamond and got a free cruise offer there. I was able to match it to Holland America and got a free cruise offer that way. I know that some people are able to get Carnival cruises for free by doing different status matching. I haven't actually taken any of these because I don't do great with boats. So I'm not really a cruise person. I just always try and see if I can get a free cruise voucher before posting about it on Instagram, or else the internet people will rage if I post about a hack that doesn't actually work. So I always just try to test it for myself to see if there is a free voucher. But there are tons of articles. If you Google free cruise status match or something like that, that is how you can get a ton of free cruises. As far as car rental hacks, I hear that AutoSlash is a fantastic website. If you do book a car rental, they will track if that price goes down. So you can just cancel your reservation, book the exact same thing right away so that you will save on the car rental that you have already booked. Additionally, if you have something like the Capital One Venture X or the Amex Platinum, then you are going to get automatic President Circle, which hurts, which is the top tier status and basically means you can walk onto the lot and get whatever car you want to drive that's available. Should you try for a retention offer within the first year of having a credit card? You absolutely can. It doesn't really hurt. Your chances just might not be that high. I have received retention offers. I think it was on the Amex Business Gold, where I had it for about 8 months and said, hey, I haven't really been using this at the time. Is a retention offer available? And we do have a script in the free course at geobreezetravel.com/free course. One thing to note about retention offers, I've had more luck with American Express than pretty much all the other ones combined, with Chase, Citi, Capital One, or any of the other cards. So your experience may vary from mine, but I have had the most luck with American Express. And once I do get a retention offer on a particular card, they usually won't give me another retention offer for at least 2 years. So it'll be every other year that I can usually get a retention offer on an American Express card. What's the next trip you have planned? So we have a few international trips out on the horizon. In August, we're going to be going to Malaysia. We actually found a flight deal on United Polaris from Los Angeles over to Japan, but we've already went to Japan earlier this year. So I was looking to see what deals we could find from Japan to other parts of Asia. And it turns out I have these Alaska miles that I had just had sitting on my account for years because I got shiny card syndrome and I opened an Alaska card not knowing what I wanted to do with it. But we found a really good Alaska redemption on Japan Airlines business class. I think it was only 30,000 points per person for 8 hours of business class from Tokyo down to Kuala Lumpur. So we will be hanging out in Malaysia and then we're going to fly Singapore Airlines on the way back. So that's our August trip. And then in December, we also have a trip over to Egypt and Turkey planned, where we spent 70,000 American Airlines miles transferred from Bilt to American Airlines to fly Q Suites from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, over to Doha, then to Cairo. And then we have flights back from Istanbul, Turkey, through London, back to Las Vegas directly. And I think we used American Airlines miles to book British Airways on that one. Still trying to figure out the split between Egypt and Turkey and if we want to do anything else in the Middle East in between those. We only have about 10 days that we're gone total. So still trying to figure out the itinerary. If you guys have any recommendations, let me know. How did I grow my Instagram to more than 100,000 followers? All right. So this involved a little bit of strategy and a lot of luck. And here is the journey that I went through. So you know how on the GeoBreeze Travel podcast, I am featuring somebody new every week? Well, they are going to share, hopefully, the podcast episode with their audience. So that way, their audience discovers me, my audience discovers them. And I've just been doing that every week for the last 2.5 years or so, of featuring other people. And then my audience gets exposed to them, their audience gets exposed to me. And that was really, really instrumental in the beginning when I had basically no followership, is just being able to get some followers from other people's account. Also on the GeoBreeze Travel podcast, as you know, I always have people do a shout out at the end of the show. And then I will often tag the person who gets the shout out on Instagram as well. So maybe they're sharing the episode as well. In addition to featuring other travel hacking creators and points and miles creators, I also did post swaps with other personal finance creators back when I was around the 10,000 or so follower mark. So I would find somebody who had expertise in investing or retirement accounts or real estate or something that was tangential to personal finance, but not necessarily points and miles. So then we would do a post swap where I would ask for one of their best performing posts, I'd give them one of my best performing posts, and then we would post each other's content on our own accounts. That way, their audience would find me, my audience would find them, and it was just a way to get in front of a lot of new audiences who might be kind of interested in personal finance, maybe interested in points and miles, but hadn't seen my account before. So between the different collaborations with the post swaps and featuring people on the podcast, that was how I got to about 38,000 or so last year, I think. And then that's when things really went viral. I went from 38,000 to 159,000 all in the span of a week. And in the last year, I've only grown from 159,000 to 167. We have about 1,000 people following, 1,000 people unfollowing every week. So people are just in and out. The numbers are a lot bigger, but it has been pretty steady. So here's what happened during that week. Instagram picked up a couple of my reels and they went viral. And it was stuff that I had posted before. I think there was the Target deal, which always does decently well. I think I posted something about the United Excursionist perk, and there was something about the Kimpton password. I had posted about those topics before. I have posted about those topics since. For whatever reason, they all just got really picked up that week and did very, very well. So then I poured gas on that fire because I did a giveaway the same week where I said, hey, thank you so much. We've gotten a ton of new followers this week. I want to do a giveaway. I think I gave away like a couple hotel vouchers that were about to expire that I wasn't going to be able to use. I'm like, well, I'll just give these away to someone. If you share any of my reels to your stories and tag me, then I will enter you in the giveaway for this hotel voucher that I secretly wouldn't be able to use myself anyway. And tons of people just started sharing the exact same like three reels. So those three reels that were their favorites started picking up a lot of steam. A lot more people were finding my account through those different shares and then started following me from there. And since those few reels were getting a lot of traction, the Instagram algorithm then picked up, oh, I think a lot of people are interested in this. So then I started hitting people's explore pages from there as well. And that really drove up the followership for that 1 week. And then it's been level since then. So those are kind of the steps that I went through. It is always difficult to predict virality and what's going to happen with the algorithm, but you do have control over who you're networking with and doing post swaps with and featuring each other on each other's channels to kind of grow that way. If you're looking to earn more points and miles, there are usually two main ways to get there. The first one is with credit card signup bonuses, where you can easily earn tens of thousands of points by putting your expenses on a new credit card. If you're in the market for a new credit card, we offer free credit card consultations and provide you with personalized recommendations based on your particular travel goals, budget, and lifestyle at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. But there are also a ton of ways to earn points outside of opening more cards. And we have some of my favorite methods like stacking, finding hidden bonus offers, and finding reimbursable spending strategies outlined in my free webinar called You Do Not Need 20 Cards. Check out the free webinar on geobreezetravel.com/webinar. And we have links to both the free consultation form and the free webinar for you in the show notes. And now, back to the show. I do also want to point out that when you do go viral, everybody has their 15 minutes of fame, and inevitably, when you do go viral, it attracts a lot of weirdos. I got so many DMs that were racist, sexist, just overall inappropriate, just questions that had nothing to do with anything. Anti-credit card people. You get a lot of crazy people when you go viral. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And I wouldn't necessarily pray for going viral before you are ready, because if you have hundreds of thousands of people pouring in to your systems and you're just not ready for intake, or if everybody starts suddenly asking best case scenario, hey, like, how do I learn about points and miles? Do you have any free resources? What's your email list? Like, how do you do any of this? And you're just getting all of those questions and you don't have auto replies set up. You don't have different links to send people where you're like, hey, here's a free course that has all of the FAQs or everything. If you don't have that set up and you have a few posts go viral and people are just pouring in, it almost feels like a lost opportunity because you're getting all of this traffic with nowhere to direct them to. So I would say serve the audience that you currently have now, and then that will naturally help you to grow, get your systems in place so that if five people are asking you the same question over and over again, make some kind of process to say, hey, I made a free resource for you to get those people on your mailing list or something. That's going to be a lot better for you in the long run versus hoping for virality and then 50,000 people ask you the exact same question, but you don't have somewhere to direct them. So you're just messaging them in the DMs and it's going to get lost and you're unfortunately not able to keep them in your audience because you just weren't ready. So that's the story of how I grew my Instagram and my word of caution about virality. What are some of your favorite travel tips for somebody traveling to Las Vegas? So we have an entire podcast episode about this featuring following Maria, but here are some of my favorite takeaways. First of all, make sure that you download the My Vegas app. You can get tons of free points just by playing different games online. You don't have to put any money in and it doesn't take that much time to earn the points. You can redeem these points for free hotel nights, free show tickets, buy one, get one free drinks and food all through the My Vegas app. They're partnered with MGM Hotels, and you can earn a free night at Excalibur starting at, I think, 15,000 points, which would probably take a week or two of playing the app. So you can earn prizes really, really fast, and you don't have to spend any money, which is fantastic. Another trick I really like for Las Vegas is if you have the Amex Platinum card, which comes with a $200 fine hotels and resorts credit, look into Resorts World, which is a Hilton hotel property near the north of the Strip. And with this property, you can stack so many things and it's almost like you're getting paid to stay at this hotel because you get $200 off from fine hotels and resorts off of your hotel rate. You're going to get breakfast included. So that's about $60 per day if there's two of you. You're going to get $100 food and beverage credit to apply for any of the restaurants in the property. And as a gold member with Hilton, which you're automatically going to get since you have the Amex Platinum card anyway, you're going to get another $25 to $30 in food and beverage credits there as well. So if you're looking for a good way to use that credit with fine hotels and resorts, definitely look into Resorts World, especially if you can travel during a weekday because their hotel rates are going to be so much lower there. And you can basically stay at the hotel for free with that $200 credit, plus get paid to stay there using the food and beverage credits that you're going to get through the stacks. Also, if you're going for American Airlines status, you could check out the website rocketmiles.com. They have a lot of really good deals for Las Vegas through there where you can just book a cheap hotel, earn American Airlines miles instead of hotel points for that hotel booking. And the nice thing about Las Vegas is a lot of the hotels are prepaid. So you could prepay for your hotel, earn your American Airlines miles, and not even have to show up for your reservation. And since you're not showing up for your reservation, then you don't have to pay resort credits either. So that's a really good way to rack up your American Airlines miles without having to fly, without having to spend a ton of money, is just to look and see if there are any good prepaid hotels on rocketmiles.com, especially in the Las Vegas area. Would you ever cash out your points to pay an annual fee? Personally, I would not, because if you are using your points to offset the annual fee, you are most likely only getting 1 cent per point. I like to earn more than 1 cent per point when I do redemptions. So for example, if I am using Chase points at a Hyatt hotel or using Amex points for an international flight, I'm going to aim to get at least 2 cents out of every point. Like for example, if I'm going to pay 20,000 points for a Hyatt hotel night, I would like the cash price of that hotel night to be at least $400, is my rough estimate for Hyatt and most international flights. The valuation that I aim for is going to be a little bit different if it's Marriott versus IHG, Hilton, Hyatt, and some other programs. And we do have a link in the free course at geobreachtravel.com/free course for what to aim for as far as valuations with different kinds of points. Are there travel-related jobs that pay well but are behind-the-scenes type positions? So I'm going to assume that you mean from the digital nomad creator space. And there are a ton of these different tasks that you can do. So the key is to find the different tasks that the in front of the camera people would want to outsource and have managed for them, because the people who are creating all the content are tired. I'm tired. A lot of the fellow content creators are tired. And if you can just take some of the things that they have to do off of their plate, that can be a great way to start a behind the scenes business where you don't have to be in front of the camera, but you can make a pretty good living, or at least create a pretty good side hustle for yourself off camera. So some ideas: you could manage people's email. You could do copywriting or writing blogs. You could do editing videos or editing blog posts for them, do some ghostwriting. You could do customer service, handle customer service emails, do website design. You could learn how to run ads for different businesses. All you need to do is find a niche and study how to do that thing and do it very, very well, and then offer that service to different creators. And then you can make a digital nomad life for yourself from pretty much anywhere in the world by doing that service. And this doesn't just have to be within the travel industry. It can be expanded to tons of different industries. Maybe you don't necessarily want to work with travel creators, but you are really, really good at running ads for real estate creators or something, or editing videos for real estate creators, or podcast editing, or writing blog posts for people who write about retirement funds. The different combinations of what is the task that you are performing and who are you helping to outsource that task is going to be the sweet spot for you to make a lot of money in whatever service you decide to sell. If any of you are right now being like, I'm going to email her saying I can do any of these things, like podcast editing, VAs, video editing, all that, I have people for all of those. So just keep that in mind. But what I personally need are client managers who have an expertise in points and miles and can make step-by-step video tutorials very similar to the ones that we produce on this YouTube channel, but for client-specific requests. So if that is something where you're like, oh, I can make those YouTube tutorials, you don't have to show your face at all. You just do a screen share and talk people through how they can find different award bookings and transfer their points to the best way possible in order to make the most out of their points and miles. If that sounds like something you would like to do behind the scenes, send me an email at julia@geobreachtravel.com and I will send you the audition prompt to see what you've got. If you're sitting there going, I don't know how to produce those types of tutorials, I need somebody to produce those types of step-by-step tutorials for me, we have a couple of options for you. The first one is by joining the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon at patreon.com/GeoBreezeTravel, where we can prepare personalized step-by-step tutorial videos for you to find the exact award search and bookings that you have on your mind. The second option is for business owners and individuals who spend more than $100,000 each year. If that's you, I'd love to chat with you more about our points portfolio management offer, where we can show you just how much free travel you can get with that level of spend. You can book a free call to learn more at geobreezetravel.com/intro call, which you can find in the description box. How did you guys reach multimillionaire status before age 30? So contrary to popular belief, it is not from GeoBreeze Travel at all, and it is not from investing in real estate or crypto or anything remotely interesting. Here is the very, very boring story of how we reached multimillionaire status before age 30. So in my prior life, I was an actuary before I was a content creator. And if you don't know what an actuary is, I basically priced out health insurance. I did a lot of different mathematical modeling. And when I graduated from college, my starting salary was about $65,000 at age 22. And then when I left 9 years later, it was roughly $180,000 per year. So that's how much I made. And if you're not familiar with actuarial science, we have to pass a lot of grueling exams in order to get our certification. So these actually started back when I was in college. So between like ages 19 through 25 or so, I was just heads down studying all the time. So I was in a lucky position, though, where I was making a pretty good salary while not having time to go spend any of it. Whereas a lot of doctors, if they're in residency, they're probably making $30,000. They have hundreds of thousands of student loans. I didn't have student loans. My husband and I both got almost full rides to college. So we graduated without loans, which gave us a huge leg up in the financial independence journey. And then we were both making pretty good salaries. Me as an actuary, him as a software engineer, and didn't really have time to go out and do anything with it. So if you are basically living under a rock for 6 years while not spending your money and just putting it in savings or investments, that's going to compound. And we had been dating this whole time. So I started dating right before I took my first exam at age 19. And then we got engaged sometime, I think I was like 23, and got married after I was done with exam. So around 25 is when we got married. That whole time, we had roughly been living off of my compensation and just shoveling his into savings or investments because we weren't creative and couldn't figure out any fun ways to spend our money. So if you are putting away a software engineer's compensation into savings or investments, and we mostly just did S&P 500 index funds, if you are putting away that much into investments each year, you are just going to, by default, reach millionaire status. Obviously, we had a lot of advantages, two high incomes, no student loans, no kids, no health disasters. So that will also give you a huge leg up with financial independence if you just already have those advantages in place. And I feel like that's something that people should acknowledge a little bit more, is it does involve luck as well as making some of the right moves. But those right moves are easier to make if you are just presented with easy choices the entire time. If you're watching this saying like, well, I don't have those advantages and there's no way that we can put 50% or so of our household income into investments each month, that's totally fine. You're normal. We're the weird ones. I don't think it's reasonable at all to tell people, oh, you should be putting 50% of your household income into investments. That's just not the reality for a lot of people. And I don't want the takeaway from this to be like, you have to put 50% of your household income into investments or else you are screwed, because that's not what we're trying to say at all. That's just what we ended up doing. The takeaway that I want for you is that you have to do something to grow that gap between your expenses and your income. Obviously, that can be lowering your expenses. You need some quick wins. You can increase your income if you want bigger wins. And then whatever that gap is, invest that into something that has compound interest. Easiest thing to do is the S&P 500 with index funds. That's what we tend to do. It doesn't involve a lot of like the market research that real estate or anything else would involve. Not to say that real estate is bad. It just involves more effort than I had in me while doing actuarial exams. So S&P 500 and index funds is what my husband and I did. And if you're able to put 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever percent of your household income into these investments, that is how you will eventually reach multimillionaire status years from now or earn passive income through those investments. So that is the super boring way that we became multimillionaires, was from living under a rock.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!